The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Jason Long, and I think the best person to talk about Jason is Jason.
Sure.
They've got a family-owned business called Flowbird, and I'll let him talk about where it came from and what it does.
Well, first of all, in line with abusing guests and co-presenters and stuff like that, I need to ask Jason the question. What a fabulous name you have.
What, Flowbird?
No, your own name.
Rainbird.
Jason Rainbird. Rainbird. Do you know the entomology of that?
It's basically, well, two things. It's the name of a woodpecker.
Right.
Which obviously with a nose like mine is interesting. But also it's quite common in places like Suffolk. So I'm
Not
moving to Suffolk because then I would just be
just
normal,
blend in.
Common.
Yeah.
And secondly, it's in the Doomsday Book as a little bit of blue blood, obviously pretty diluted by now. But that's where the original place. But yeah. Woodpecker is the original.
Wow.
Okay. So there we go.
Oh, I love it. I love people with different types of names.
Don't get me started on birds. I love birds. We've got two. I love that. I love birds. I am obsessed with different styles of birds.
That's why she calls us. No, it's bird.
Well, yes.
No, anyway, that's just
sexist. Come on, Jason. Yeah. I just find that fascinating. Yeah. Yeah. We've got two types of woodpeckers in our garden at the minute. Go figure.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Anyway,
cool.
Sorry, Jason.
Jason. Anyway, thank you for that. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Flowbird?
Flowbird?
Yeah.
Okay. So we are basically a CRM and marketing automation agency.
Right.
I think what makes us different is that whereas a lot of people that we work with, particularly marketing agencies, et cetera, and that's what I was talking earlier about, the SEO and PPC, they're all about lead generation, lead generation. Need more leads, more leads. And what we actually do is we've actually reversed that and said, well, actually, if you look after what you've got, like the customers that you've got, and you look after the prospects that you've got, then actually you don't need to spend as much money, and the money that you do spend is better invested. So we put together packages where we'll go into a customer and we'll say, right, okay, so three basic problems. Let's convert more of the traffic that's hitting your website. So we'll look at ways of doing that. Once you've got that lead, let's look at nurturing that. And what a lot of companies do, unfortunately, is they'll kind of get the hot leads in and they'll work on the hot leads, and then they'll basically push the rest aside. And we're saying, well, actually, if you work on all of them, just because someone's inquired today doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to buy today. So it may be a long-term burn. Mm. And most companies, we all know, we've made an inquiry, we get a phone call, we may get an email or whatever, and then we're kind of tossed aside. So we're looking to long-term nurture those people, keep them on the back burner until they're ready. And then the final part of that is retention. My personal passion is in retention. So how can you keep your customers for longer? And so we put plans and processes in place that will enable us to grow your customers. And we all know the stats, it's 6 to 7 times cheaper to keep an existing customer than it is to get a new one. So
unless you're an insurance company, apparently.
Oh, which, you're out the door.
That's your year over.
So you're kind of that's kind of the process. So what ends up with, but one of the things you mentioned earlier was about automation. And obviously a lot of what we do is marketing automation.
Yep.
But the one thing that we're really, really keen and quite passionate about is pushing those leads back to the sales team to say, look, this person has now expressed enough interest. They are, get on the phone, pick the blinking phone up, have a conversation with them.
Yeah.
So the human element of what the biggest kind of objection we get at the beginning is, well, we don't want it all automated. We want to talk to people. And we're like, absolutely. That's exactly what we do. So we'll sort out the CRM system and then we'll say, right, get back on the phone.
It's a bit like I was ranting about earlier with IVR boxes, interactive voice response box. Yeah. It's not the technology that's a problem. No. It's how you deploy it that's the problem. Yeah. You need the technology, I would suggest, you know, in terms of your sales and service support people need on hand to know about the customer profile, the customer numbers, your account number. They need all of that data in order to talk to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. What we don't need is to put that in between a human being and a customer.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Yeah, cool.
We need a process of qualification. You know, if you've got 100 inquiries coming on, you can't talk to all of those people at the same time. So we've got to have a process that says, okay, these top 10 people have expressed enough interest. Get on the phone to those people and talk to those, and then work your way down and let the nurturing process look after the rest. And then, you know, when they're ready, timing, contract, whatever the process is, then obviously we can move forward from there. And that's basically, we do. So we package it all up and we put it in.
So do you actually supply the CRM software?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Is it software that you've pulled together from elsewhere, or is it software that you've written yourself? How does that work?
No, we partner with a couple of systems. So we partner with Pipedrive, which is like first or second most popular CRM system. Mm. And it's for a reason, because it's so easy to use. So from a user perspective, they get in, they understand it pretty quick. A lot of people buy it and then they kind of set it up. So we will do a little bit of consultancy around cleaning it up for them and getting it working right. And then we then bolt on our CRM, our marketing automation stuff that then starts to sort of work with that as part of the process. And that works well for us. And then we have other CRM systems. If Pipedrive is not the right system for a particular client, for whatever reason, then we have other systems that we can implement. The key thing really, from our perspective, and I say this to all our clients, you've got to get the salespeople using the CRM system. That's the most important thing. It doesn't matter what they do, get them. And we have systems and processes in place that will kind of coerce them into using it on a day-to-day basis. And that's the most important aspect of it.
Just step me through. If I'm a salesman, I go, right, okay, all right, Jason, I'll go for it. Yeah. I've been a salesman 20 years. I know what I'm doing, but I'll go your way. What is it you're trying to get me to do? What is it you want me to do with that CRM system? Is it just familiarising with the customer profile? What actually happens? Come, talk me through the process.
The most important thing is you use it to do your job. Right. So you've got calls to make, you've got emails to send, you've got meetings to have.
Yep.
Updating that, because you're sharing that information. If you're a one-man band, then obviously you go out, you see the person, you don't necessarily need to document that. But if you're sharing with a manager and colleagues and everything else. But what we're also doing, which is the clever stuff, is that it's not just there to as a reporting tool, which most people think CRM system are. It's actually to help you do it. So when you come in the morning, you know, these are the people, these are the hot people, these are people that you need to feedback. So you do your job much quicker.
Yep.
And what we also do, which really works well, is that we say, right, you tell me what your sales target is, and you say, well, it's X. And then we'll reverse engineer that, and we'll say, right, this is what activity you've got to do every single day. And if you do that, you'll hit your sales target, right? And it's estimated that something like 75% of salespeople don't hit their sales target every single year. And so we reverse that and say, right, okay, just do the mechanics. The one thing that you've got control over is your activity. Pick the phone up, you know, go and have a meeting, go and send a proposal. You can't control the output. You can't control the sale, but you can control what you physically do today.
Yeah.
And then that's an education then. And so sales managers love it, because you don't have to go, you know, you haven't sold this, you've not put the work in.
Yeah.
So it's a much more objective argument than going, you know, where's that deal coming from? And so from everyone's perspective, it just works really, really well. So
cool. You're absolutely right. And back in the day with things like recruitment consultants, which I know a little bit about, that they had very definite metrics that you had to make 75 calls in order to pick up 10 clients and that kind of thing. And you get lots of recruiters that weren't doing the amount of calls and therefore didn't ever make the targets that they were set.
Yeah.
And it's not just about calls, but, you know, there's all kinds of metrics there. And I guess, looking at this in a different way, a CRM system like that will probably help you work out what those metrics are.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you'll get very clear. You'll get very clear ratios. So we will sit down with the customer and say, okay, let's say it's 10 calls a day.
Yeah.
And then after 6 months, we'll go back and say, well, actually, you only need to make 8 calls a day. Or we look at another part of the thing. So you've got a bottleneck here in this process. Let's change that. So you can just keep feeding that data back in. And then, but the other thing is that we're also looking to do is clear the clutter from your pipeline. Don't have a deal on there that's been there for 2 years. Just get it off, cleanse your data, get the system to start to nurture that person, and then concentrate on the you know, the warm and the hot leads and let the system churn over in the background.
Okay.
And so click, click, and it's all happening.
Okay. I need to ask you this. When you're talking to organisations about CRM, especially now, what's the implications, and does it scare people with things like GDPR?
It's always a question that comes up. And it always comes down to the same thing. Basically, where did the inquiry come from? I think what a lot of people do wrong is they go, I can't talk to anyone anymore. I'll just sit and wait. And I think that's not actually the truth. You know, if you've had a genuine inquiry, then follow that through. Obviously, we educate people about the fact that you can't cross-sell. You can't, you know, if you've got, you're selling kitchens, you can't suddenly start selling them garages or something, or cars or something like that. But as long as you've got a legitimate inquiry at the beginning, and this is where, for us, the long-term nurture comes in, because we're now keeping in contact with those people in long-term. And then you don't have to keep worrying about new business and et cetera, et cetera.
And presumably you've got an audit trail of that as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you don't,
where it came from.
Because one of the funny things that we have on my job portals is we have a sign up for jobs by email.
Yes.
Which a user has to fill in, and they have to choose to put their CV on it, and they have to choose to tell us what we can do with it.
Yeah.
So there's a whole list of things, and we don't do anything unless they tell us to do it. We still get you get emails from people who are just going, "You've spammed me." And we go, "No, we haven't. You signed up for this." I'm reporting you. Yeah. And we go, "Actually, you signed up on the 19th of January at 4:30 in the afternoon." And they go, "Oh, I don't remember." Because, you know, people are a bit daft like that sometimes.
And it is important. It is important to track that. And that's where I think not having a CRM system in place is fundamental. You know, it's a big, massive problem.
Yeah.
And to me, your customer database, your lead database is the most important part of your business.
Yeah.
Without that, you don't, as we said before, it's your road to Manchester. If you don't have that, you've got nothing.
Yeah.
So what do you do next?
Well, 400 quid is what you've got.
Yeah.
So what sort of size business would you start wanting? Because you don't want a start-up as such, do you? You want something a little bit established, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I mean, a really sweet spot for us is someone who's been going at least 2 years, so they've got some sort of established database, because we want to start to mine the existing client database and start to grow that. At the same time, The people that are a good fit for us have what I call a complex sales process. So it takes more than one phone call, maybe a meeting. If you're picking up the phone and you're selling on the phone, job done, they're probably not a good ideal fit. So as long as you've maybe got a salesperson in place, part-time marketing person in place, that's a really, really good fit for us. Employee-wise, you know, anything from sort of 5 people up to 50 people, doesn't really matter. It's the kind of the process that they go through their sales process to make it work.
Cool. Where do you see this kind of thing going? What's the future of what you're doing?
Going back to what you were saying earlier about sort of automation element, and I still am a massive believer in the fact that the human, we're still human. So we still can't take away from the fact that there will still be an interaction. As you said earlier about the customer service element, that element becomes more and more important. Yes, marketing automation as a process will get more intelligent. You know, we can already monitor what people do, and then AI can have an effect on the information. We see it quite a lot where companies still do sort of like the monthly boom. They just send an email to everybody regardless of anything, and more and more people just then don't open those. So drip feeding small emails that are very, very relevant to people, or SMS messages.
So you're kind of micro-targeting.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's better to send 10 emails that are going to get opened than 100 emails where, you know, no one's opening them. So the information, and that's where the intelligence is now, is specifically saying, what are you interested in?
Yeah.
What will you do to open that email so that you don't hit the unsubscribe button? Because that's absolutely critical.
Absolutely, and that's the whole direction of technology for me, is to make everything more personal.
Yeah.
Back in the day, back in the 20th century, even with things like advertising, you know, TV and radio, it was all about numbers. It was all the biggest number you could possibly have, so that when you threw something at it, there was enough of a percentage of that it worked for.
Yeah.
You know, so if you had a radio show with 1 million listeners, like 5% of them may be your target market, but you give it to a lot of them because there was no way of narrowing it down anymore. Yeah. And, of course, nowadays, things like Facebook and Google and Twitter and LinkedIn can highly target everything you're doing.
Yeah.
So you don't need to send so much. So you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And does your system help with identifying those targets in terms of the types of customers that you have on the database?
Yeah, the thing that it does do, which is where, say, where we work with a lot of PPC agencies, is that, you know, the inquiries will come in and they'll kind of get, yes, we've got a conversion, we've got a lead. But what we're able to do is we're able to take that lead all the way through the CRM system to a final sale. And then that final sale can go back to the PPC agency and say, right, okay, that particular advert generated this amount of business.
Right.
So they like it, plus the customer likes it. But then what you can also do is there's two things. There's the customer journey. How did that customer end up becoming? So you look back through their sort of their history and say, well, they opened that email, they visited that page on the website, they spoke to, you know, this salesperson. So you start to map out the process.
Yeah.
And obviously the profiling then helps as well. So you get to know, because that data's in the database, in the CRM system, you know, size of company, if that's relevant, you know, number of employees, if that's relevant, whatever's relevant to you,
yeah.
you can then profile your new business. And then, as I say, it's what they call closed loop. You're then taking that final thing, putting it back to the beginning and starting again, and then you've got the whole thing going around. So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. I want to ask you this as well, and it may not be a relevant question, and in which case you'd tell me to get lost. Yeah. But from the data that you see, and I know this is just a really open-ended question, because I'm just kind of getting a generalised feel. In terms of marketing,
yep.
have you a feel for what works best? Is it emails? Is it social media marketing? Is it still cold calling? What's the mix that you see that tends to work?
The thing that works best is less sales, more education.
Yeah.
So when you're sending an email, don't be selling. And we always have a bit of a battle at the beginning with clients because they're like sell. And we like people don't engage with that. Email is still the most effective, undoubtedly.
Right. Okay.
Social media has its place.
Yep.
And I'm not a social media expert by any stretch, but I tell clients that social media will enforce the brand. So I will see you as a company. I will go to your social media and I will see that the last post wasn't 2007 and you basically died. So that's an important aspect of it. But I think companies have lots and lots of knowledge. You know, if I talk to you about recruitment, you know more about recruitment than your clients do. So you share that data, helps them, and in turn they come back to you. Mm. And we're like, take the knowledge that you've got and share that out. And then we come back to you, build authority, you build knowledge, and you build interest. People are interested, I think the old adage is you don't buy a drill, you buy a hole.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the way it goes.
Yeah.
And so getting companies to do that is what's critical. So an email is still always the most effective way, with a little bit of text messaging, WhatsApp, and whatever else.
Right.
Of getting through, as long as they're done in a particular way.
It's interesting. I suppose, thinking about that, the thing about an email is it still leaves the customer at their discretion. Mm. So you can open it and read it whenever you want.
Yeah.
With social media, you're just bombarded with it. Yeah. It kind of floats across your face and you either stop and read it or you don't.
Yeah.
Whereas an email can sit in your, if you're Jules, it can sit in your box for about 9 years. But
talking about that though, one of the things that our system does, it learns about the person.
Yep.
So we had a particular client who didn't work Monday, Tuesdays. She came into the office on Wednesday. And then she worked Wednesday, Thursdays, and she dealt all her office stuff in the morning. And then at 3 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon was her peak for reading her emails. So our system had detected that the best time to send her an email was at 3 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon.
Wow. Okay.
And so that's why that's why the one-to-one and the effectiveness of it. It works out what's better. You may be 11 o'clock at night person on a Sunday afternoon, Sunday afternoon,
absolutely. Yeah.
And then the emails will come straight to you at that particular time. So hopefully you're sitting there.
Yeah,
and that improves the engagement.
Right.
So,
okay, Jason, thank you for that. That's really fascinating. Outside of the technology, how long has the business been established? Where are you, and where are you going?
Hopefully, we're not going anywhere. So, we started 2013.
Right.
My background has been CRM consultancy. We're based at Repton Manor near Waitrose.
By Waitrose there.
Yeah, so by Waitrose. And all the new flats, and hopefully there'll be a coffee shop. And
eventually.
The growth is what we're after.
You're right.
We've got a 10-year plan, haven't we, Nettie?
We have.
So, cool.
Yeah.
Okay. It's better than a 5-year plan, because 5-year plans tend to end up with Turnip growing or something. Or am I thinking of the Politburo
when
there?
When you've only got £400 a year for the first three or four, there's not much left to go with.
No, there's not enough to go with.
Get to year six, we might get a grand, Jason, and then we can go for it.
That's profit. That's profit, Nettie. Profit.
Absolutely. Yeah, we don't talk about turnover, do we?
We don't, no. I had to take an accountant to task over that on social media recently.
You did, didn't you? We laughed about it.
We did, yeah. I saw some account, and I understand why they did it, but it really, really annoyed me. It was about Amazon, and they posted this on Twitter, a large firm of accountants, and they said Amazon had revenues of $9 billion last year and only paid tax of $7 million. And I went, "You're an accountant. You should know you do not pay corporation tax on revenue, and you should not propagate that myth, because those people that don't know keep trotting it out as if it meant something, and it doesn't." Anyway, enough of that. Jason, thank you so much for that. It's a pleasure to talk to you. We wish you much success with Flowbird and that you hit all your targets, and we wish you a successful 2020. If people want to find out more about what you do, what's the best way of doing that?
Flowbird.co.uk.
Fantastic. There is a link to the website on the Kent Business Radio website that will stay there forever. So if you ever want to find out about it, the link is there. But
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.